FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's November 20th, 2017. I'm here in beautiful San Francisco. Hadn't been here in over 10 years. I will say that the homelessness is as bad as ever, but there's a certain charm, a certain decadent charm to the city that you just can't deny. And in a way, it's a perfect place to have the Gold Silver Summit, of which I'm proud to be a media member. And if you want to find out more, become part of the show, just email me, kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. The Twitter feed's @kerrylutz. So when you walk around these shows, you never know who you're going to bump into. And you probably heard of this newsletter that's been out, almost 6-8 months now, called the Junior Miner Junkie. That's junkie with a Y. His name, person who runs it, is David Earfley. David is with me now. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kerry. Great to be here.
Likewise. So here we are in beautiful San Francisco. We've got a whole bunch of different companies. Now, presumably, they're well enough capitalized to at least be able to afford a booth and all of the soft costs associated with attending one of these conferences. It's substantial. Whether it's worthwhile or not, we could debate that in a whole nother show. But you're going through here, and you're sifting. How do you find the nuggets?
Well, it all always starts with the people, you know, and of course their projects. And I'm always looking for big. Has to be big. Has to have blue sky. And share structure is really important to me as well. But it always comes down to the people, which I'm sure you've heard before. Have they done this before? Their team that they've assembled, have they done it before? Especially, have they done it before in the jurisdiction that they're in right now? Like, let's say they've done it before halfway around the world in a totally different type of system, and it could even be a totally different metal, so a different commodity. So, you really have to be careful on these things, because, let's face it, 85% of them aren't worth anything.
Yeah, well, in the end, I think it was John Maynard Keynes said, we're all dead. In the long run, we're all dead. And in the short run, a lot of these companies will be.
Exactly. And I know there's been a few people that wish some of them have already died, because we need to make our search a lot easier, because there's just too many companies that probably won't be making it that are kind of in our way, trying to get to the nuggets.
So as far as companies go, David, are there jurisdictions that companies are in that you absolutely will not invest in?
Absolutely. There is jurisdiction. Turkey. I had the unfortunateness of being in the Istanbul airport when the terrorist attack hit. My wife and I were going to Athens, and we had a connecting flight in Istanbul, and so Turkey's not a place I want to be in. But that guy's pretty much a dictator now. So Turkey, Brazil is another one I won't touch. As far as mining is concerned, water can either be your best friend or your worst enemy. And in Brazil, it's your worst enemy. A lot of these companies are in the Amazon, and they have a lot of water issues. That's one jurisdiction I won't go into.
So as far as jurisdictions that are really hostile to the extractive industries, it seems like these countries are mellowing, because they realize if they want to up the standard of living for their country, they've got to be favorable to mining. I think of Argentina. 3 years ago, you wouldn't have touched Argentina with a 10-foot pole. Argentina is now one of the hottest countries for mining.
Depends on the district you go into, though. I mean, it's still there's some districts that you wouldn't want to be in. I know Rob McEwen's been trying to sell Los Azules for a while, and basically it needs to get a 350 floor for copper first, but if he ends up selling that, that's going to really cash up his company.
Yeah, so things change, and systems of government change. There's places in Canada you really wouldn't want to touch because it's wrapped up with First Nations people, and you'll never get anything done.
Right, or in BC where the Green Party just won a very close election, and they've kind of got control over there now for the first time in, I think, 17 years. So there's parts of BC that you don't want to be in also.
Well, we all know how that's going to end up, just like Venezuela, just like Zimbabwe, just like North Korea. Just follow the list. But the difference of the Green Party is it's socialism with a velvet glove.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But then again, there are some jurisdictions that were kind of off the map that are coming back on the map, too. I mean, my favorite jurisdictions right now in Canada are the Yukon and Quebec. The Yukon is it's very early stage up there, but you got the government and the First Nations are working together to put some infrastructure there. You've had five majors come into the district now after the Kaminak buyout by Goldcorp. You know, the two big boys are in there, Newmont and Barrick. I toured a bunch of properties last year in the Yukon, and ATAC Resources has a Carlin-style district that's twice the size of the Carlin Trend. And they've got Carlin mineralization all over the place, but the problem there is infrastructure. You know, they have to fly everything in then and then helicopter in everything, and it makes their drilling cost $350 per meter. So, but when you got a big boy like Barrick coming in and buying 19.9% of your company and taking a big, huge deposit in the center of what you got, then that really helps. And they've got a road coming up through from Keno to their Conrad Zone, which the Conrad Zone averages 5 grams per ton. So they've got the goods up there. It's just getting there is the problem.
So as far as jurisdiction goes, what's a sleeper one that you see big things for in the future that's off everybody's radar screen now?
I think Idaho.
Really?
Yeah, because Idaho has been ignored in the past because of permitting issues, because of EPA issues, and I now think the Trump administration is a lot more mining and business friendly. And I think you've already seen some companies come in there and buy some old mines, buy some old districts to try to revitalize it. You see the old former Integra team came in and bought a mine there. You've got QArgo of Kinross fame come in and buy the Bear Track mine and trying to put that back together. And there's still a lot of gold there. And there's a lot of infrastructure there, and I think that's an up-and-coming jurisdiction.
So you raised a really good point, and that is technology. The ability to go into these old mines that had there was still plenty of gold or silver there, but they became economically unfeasible. But now prices are higher. Technology has accelerated. Where do you see technology in mining now, and where's it heading?
Oh yeah, I mean the geophysical surveys that they do from the air, it's amazing what they can pinpoint now with what Ground Truth Exploration is doing. Sean Ryan and his wife's company in the Yukon, they've cut mining costs down from averaging $350 to $400 a meter in these really remote places down to $150 to $170 a meter where they have a RAB drill that's on a track that is very not very invasive to the land. It's very lightweight, and they stick a camera down the hole, and there's all these new technologies that are really helping. Cutting down costs mainly and finding things sooner.
Right. So what about the environmental aspects? I mean, it's not like it used to be where you just dug a mine, finished, and left. Now you got to remediate. Have they gotten better at this, made it more cost effective?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, they have. And, you know, it's kind of like things are made tougher for you, so you have to adapt and adjust, and you have to and you have to move forward. And technology's really improved remediation. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. Nobody wants to see these scars on the landscape. So, hey, when you look at popular shows like on History Channel or Gold Rush, which is, fictional, but you think it's getting younger people more invested in the space?
I watch it with my five-year-old, so I guess so. He loves it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all like reality TV. I always say the only thing real about reality TV is the check that they deposit in the bank for doing the show. But nonetheless, unless all that gold is salted, I think they actually do find some gold.
Yeah, they do.
And you know, anything that popularizes mining, because for so many years now, it really was not a choice of for people career-wise. Right. Maybe that's going to change now.
I hope so. Yeah, anything that could shine a better light on the mining industry. I mean, you know, it's been poo-pooed for so long, and gold and silver mining, the gold and silver mining sector is the last deep value play left in the market. It really is. I mean, everything else has taken off, and now we've had energy and commodities starting to take off. And if you look at the volume on the GDX and the GDXJ, the ETFs, it's the lowest it's been in history. I mean, this is a great time to come in to be a contrarian and to come in here to these conferences and take a look at these companies and get into the right ones and do really well. Yeah.
Not to mention the price of gold has, you know, it's been hovering around that $1,300 mark going back and forth, but it's shown some pretty good strength and good resistance.
It's shown some incredible resiliency considering what's going on here. I mean, it's really amazing how it's held up.
All right, hey, David, just tell us, where do we find you? How do we subscribe to your newsletter?
Okay, I write a weekly column for Kitco. You can find me there. And you can find me at www.juniorminerjunkie.com. And I have a subscription service that is limited to 200 people. I give you 24-hour notice before I buy something, and it's limited to 200 people because a lot of these little juniors that I get into are microcap. So if I had too many subscribers, we all wouldn't be able to get a very good price at the same time. So,
all right, David, we appreciate it. Next time we're going to talk about how you got into this arcane area of the market, what it is that you love about it, and what makes you get up in the morning and look at a new company, look at a new find, a discovery, and really keeps your juices flowing. Anyway, if you've got a question for David, myself, get involved in the show. Email me, kl@kerrylutz.com. The Twitter feed's @KerryLutz. Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. David, good luck. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.